what really strikes me in the what we're going through just now is really the kind of from a Catholic point of view is this the whole message that Pope Francis put out in Laudato Si 5 years ago, actually, is coming up to the fifth anniversary of Laudato Si in May, and that document that he wrote, it's a letter to the whole of humanity. It's very, very much based on the science, looking at kind of a picture of the multiple different crises. And he didn't, obviously, in that mention pandemics, because it was much more focused on the environmental side of things and climate change. But I think it's very much, he puts forward a kind of a theology, a spirituality that is very much in tune with, I guess, what we're living through just now. So in Laudato Si, Pope Francis talks very much about interconnectedness being at the foundation of the Christian message, that we're all interconnected. We're not isolated individuals. We need to build those interconnections based on compassion, on sharing, on love. He uses a very strong word, communion, that we're part of a bigger reality of communion. And one of the interesting things that is put forward in Laudato Si, and I guess shared more broadly again with the climate movement within the Catholic Church and more broadly, is that this sense of connectedness and this sense of communion extends to other species and extends to the whole of creation, the whole of our connection with the universe. And that's quite radical thinking for a pope, and it overturns many decades of theological thinking in the Catholic Church, where, as you said, like there would be a kind of hostility almost to say we have a right to use, to extract, to and almost seeing this wealth as a sign of God's providence, or, you know, so there's a different theology of extraction and a theology of being masters of creation. And that's really overturned in Pope Francis, in the theology that he's putting forward in Laudato Si. It's much more of a gentle theology, in the sense of being gentle to the earth, but also recognising that this deep interconnectedness, that the presence of God in the material world, in his or her, in the created world. And I find that really hopeful. And one of the things that's been happening over the past few years is really kind of a great effort to bring this into the mainstream of the church, and to really, it's a huge challenge, because it's, I guess, this would not, as you said, be the mainstream theology of a lot of church-going Christians, let's just be frank about it. Like, it's not the mainstream, and yet it's coming from the Pope himself. And there's real, I guess, tensions within the churches on where this all sits. It's very, very deep rooted, this kind of sense of the kind of hostility to creation, and seeing that as part of the kind of story of Christianity and progress. But there's a lot of people who are very much working together to bring that forward, and to try and bring it to life. It's not just something that you kind of write theoretical papers about, or kind of, but it's something that's really lived, I think, amongst people as well. And we're planning to do a big an online celebration for the fifth anniversary of Laudato Si, which I might tell you about. It's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, we'll definitely follow up with that. But I mean, it's interesting too, you talked about the species and the interconnectedness between species. And, you know, you've people like Dr. Jane Goodall saying things like, well, this pandemic is zoonotic, it's come from animals. And a lot of environmentalists are saying, well, it's coming from the fact that we've invaded animals' habitats, and also the fact that we've kept them in such unnatural, cramped condition that's allowed these diseases to jump to human hosts. So, you know, I mean, maybe there's an opportunity within this pandemic to kind of help people to see that interconnectedness, you know, that we can socially separate, but until we allow animals to essentially socially separate, these diseases are going to just keep multiplying.
Absolutely. And I think one of the challenges as we're kind of going forward with this and is really to understand more deeply how these things are connected together. Because I think there's still a tendency to prefer, even like in the media, to kind of say, well, that's the COVID crisis over there. And then we have the climate crisis over here, and we have the extinction crisis in the middle. But I think the relationship between them is complex. And I think that part of the challenge is not to kind of oversimplify it all and say, well, it's just the same crisis. But to, as Jane Goodall is doing, to tease out where those connections are. And what I think one of the kind of opportunities through this is to see where the solutions are that can serve both of these massive issues that we're facing at the moment. So where should we be focused in terms of recovery, and where should we be focused in terms of like societal change in order to tackle the what could possibly be future pandemics? Because as you say, this is not going to be the last of these pandemics, because we've set up, in a sense, the perfect storm with the clearing of habitats and with all the industrialised agriculture and all the different kind of contexts that are being created through our consumerist, extractive, meat-intensive economy that can then allow diseases to pass from one species to another and all the other problems that go with that as well. So we need to be focused now on looking at what are the kind of shifts that could be made that would enable, in a sense, society to get back on its feet, for us to resume some kind of social normality, but at the same time move into a new normal. I think it's so important that as we're kind of starting to emerge from the first wave of this, that we fight the kind of urge to go back. And I think that's going to be the hardest thing, because we all want a sense of security, and that kind of the urge to go back to the way things were is so strong for all of us, because we're craving our social patterns and interaction at this point. But can we start to think of a new normal? We're going to be forced to do that anyway, because the old normal, in a sense, is gone to some extent, in terms of the kind of some of the things that we would have been doing in the past, that they're now telling us, well, it'll be 2 years before you'll be able to go on holiday, perhaps, or you'll be but we need to start to proactively think, what would the new normal look like, and how could that be more ecological and more connected, like keeping those closer connections to the planet and to each other